Hello and welcome to the Firestarter Podcast, powered by our friendly neighbors at Nextdoor, the neighborhood app. It's easy to plug into your neighborhood right now by simply downloading the Nextdoor app or by visiting nextdoor.ca/flames. Ryan Dietrich and Brendan Parker with you, and we've got a good one today. Flames Assistant General Manager Brad Pascal will join us a bit later on the program. Brad is definitely one of the good guys in the game, so it's always great to catch up and talk a little hockey. But first, you're stuck with us for the next few minutes. Parks, how are things going on this fine Thursday?
Let's do this.
What's going on with you?
Good, good, man. I mean, we're kind of stuck in the twilight zone again, having 3 days between games. But yeah, practice, off day, practice, game day. Looks like the weather is going to be a bit sketchy on Saturday, and we do have an off day on Friday. So I think I'll be taking the project car out of storage and maybe going for a cruise over the mountains or something like that. So trying to stay socially distant, and can't think of a better way to do that than to seal myself in the car and enjoy the scenery.
Nice. Open her up a little bit.
Yeah, why not? Just trying to take advantage of the break where we get it. What about you?
It's a weird schedule right now, for sure, from a hockey standpoint, and will be until we finish the regular season. But that's the way she goes. And it'll be interesting to see sort of what the plan is roster-wise now as we get kind of, you know, towards the end of the season and what it looks like. You know, it probably, and more in particular, the final four games of the year. I know it's not officially official yet, but it is certainly pointing that way in terms of the playoff destination. So there'll be some decisions, I would assume, to make personnel-wise over the next few games.
I do want to preface this by saying we are recording this on Thursday, and considering what the playoff situation looks like, things can change pretty quickly by the time you're listening to this. So we've been saying it for a while now, but it's official. The Flames have to run the table, and the Montreal Canadiens have to lose every game in regulation the rest of the way. 1 point either way is enough to eliminate the Flames. So the Winnipeg Jets were in town on Wednesday, and look, that's a good team over there, but they were really fighting it with a 7-game losing streak, so you knew they were going to come out hard. Give them credit. They played a good game and really made things tough on the Flames in terms of generating offense, and hey, they certainly made the most of their own opportunities.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, we've kind of talked both with Peter Laborteus and Matt Stajan throughout the game last night. It was one that, you know, didn't have a whole lot in terms of excitement to it. Probably exactly what the Winnipeg Jets were looking for. I mean, you listen to what Paul Maurice was talking about in the morning, and he was describing, you know, sort of playing more of a playoff type of game where it's not so much what you're getting, it's what you're leaving. And they did not leave very much. And everything they did leave, Connor Hellebuck was able to see and stop for the most part. I know the Flames did have a few, you know, pretty good looks. Elias Lindholm, particularly Matthew Tkachuk, each had some opportunities. In fact, Tkachuk beat Hellebuck a couple times, but hit the crossbar. But, you know, for the most part, Hellebuck was able to see everything. There weren't a lot of second chances, and they didn't leave a lot. And that's kind of, you know, just what the doctor ordered for Winnipeg, who've been trying to talk about getting into a playoff mindset here because they're in that position. They've obviously secured that spot now. They snapped their 7-game losing streak. And for the Calgary Flames, it's just kind of one of those games where, you know, it's probably a storyline we've seen a few times this year. Some chances, unable to finish, and the mistakes that you do leave were grade A's or grade ones, as Matt Stajan described. Not twos, but ones.
Grade ones. You know, that's a piece of the Flames game we haven't seen much of over the past few weeks. You know, Daryl Sutter again kind of alluded to some of the inexperience on the blue line playing a part in some of those turnovers, and certainly some of that is unavoidable, but to me, it also speaks to just how much you miss a guy like Noah Hanifin right now.
For sure. And you know, it's going to happen at any point in time, you know, or it can happen. I mean, even the fourth goal is, you know, basically a 2-on-0 inside the dots, just because of a little miscommunication or a turnover between two experienced guys. So it happens to anybody. But at the same time, you know, the mistakes that you can't really afford, especially against a team that's so good at converting, you know, defense into offense. And they just absolutely tee off when teams make mistakes. And we saw that. I mean, Adam Lowry isn't necessarily the first guy you're going to look to offensively on that team, but if he's going to get a 3-on-1 and a breakaway, you know, the guy can finish, and he showed that. So those are the kinds of mistakes you just can't afford to give up. And, you know, as Daryl said, I suppose learning learning experiences in some ways. Obviously, you don't want to see those happen, but it's a little bit of trial by fire for sure.
I beg to differ on Adam Lowry. He was always an offensive threat for the old Bow Valley Flames, taken down by Blackfoot Association. So I'm used to it by now. He must have got extra amped up knowing the situation. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
about
he is in Calgary, so it's definitely a little extra sweet, right?
Everybody loves those hometown games, that's for sure. Yeah. No question about that. Hey, let me throw something at you, because only once in Calgary's last 20 games have they come out on the wrong end of the possession metrics. Last night, certainly, score effects probably come into play when you're down three after 40, but nevertheless, 63% of the shot attempts were in Calgary's favor. They also entered the night, leading the NHL in high-danger scoring chance percentage in the past 10 games. So I know this probably sounds a bit hollow considering where the team is in the standings, but you bring in a guy like Daryl Sutter who knew the challenge in front of him in terms of getting the team to play the right way. To me, these are encouraging signs for the franchise moving forward here.
Absolutely. I think when you listen to what everybody has kind of said here in the last few days, I think everybody sees that, everybody feels that. But it's also hard to completely, I'm not going to say buy in. That's kind of what I was thinking in my head, is to completely buy. I think it's clear that they have bought into a lot of it just from the results that you just laid out there. But it's also a little bit difficult to embrace that, I suppose, when you're not getting the results. And
yes,
right now this team has a finishing problem, which we know well. And you know, when you're not seeing wins, you're not seeing goals, you're not seeing production come with it, it can be definitely hard to not get frustrated with that process. And I know, Derek Ryan, Doc kind of talked about that, where it's so easy to let that creep in. But without a doubt, they feel good about a lot of their game right now. It's just, you know, when is it all going to kind of come together, I suppose? And obviously, you know, we're running out of time in this season, but Daryl talked about it being a longer process, something that was going to take time. And he maybe even, you know, I don't know if he'd admit that himself, but maybe more than he even realized. But it's all about a foundation, right? It's about a playbook, a textbook, a layout for this team moving forward. So, you know, the fact that that's all there is great, but this team's going to have to find some ways to back that up a little bit more offensively too.
Well said. And I think that's actually a perfect segue talking about foundation and pieces moving forward, because we've got the assistant general manager of the Flames coming right up after the break.
When you need to borrow a ladder, or your pet runs away, or you want to get the top recommendations for local takeout food, the best people to turn to are your neighbors. Download Nextdoor, the free app with verified users in every Calgary community, keeping neighbors connected for great advice, recommendations, help, and more. Get the most out of your neighborhood with Nextdoor, connecting neighbors in communities all over Calgary. Download the app today or visit nextdoor.ca.
Pleased to welcome in Brad Pascal, the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. Brad, appreciate your time. How are things?
Great, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me. And doing really good.
Awesome. That's good to hear. We were just kind of joking off air too, that we all have very different setups right now. How's the office life treating you? I'm still working from home. Parks is in the rink. We're kind of, we've got all three pillars of the city of Calgary going on right now.
Yeah. We're still in the office bubble, if you will, on the NHL protocol. So it's a barren place, but we're moving along. We get there our daily tests and we separate ourselves and we wear masks all day, as everybody does. So, but everything is good and we're trucking along.
Awesome. Hey, we're going to get to some of the, I think, bigger picture details with the Stockton Heat a little bit later. Obviously, you're the GM of that club and a unique season, to say the least. But first off, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, we know this hasn't really been the season that many of us expected with the Flames, and we'll see how the playoff race unfolds here over the next few days. But, you know, from where I'm sitting anyway, it seems like the team has really taken some good steps and has played some of its best hockey over the last 10 to 20 games. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. You measure your success in wins and losses, of course, and ultimately in the playoffs. But you're right. I believe that, you know, our overall play, our attention to detail, you know, our effort and work ethic, I don't think has been ever in question. It is, you know, it comes down to execution. And, you know, I think some attention to detail has been brought in and emphasized. And I think you've seen that in the play of the overall team and the play of overall players.
What about this season from your standpoint? I mean, as Ryan laid out, it's challenging for everyone involved. And I would assume your air miles are down a little bit, not as many trips down south into Stockton. But, you know, this has been home for the team and this or was this year. I mean, what was it like, you know, kind of going through the process and eventually settling on Calgary and then, you know, making this setup work here this year?
Yeah, first off, with our AHL team, Stockton is, you know, the city of Stockton and our setup down there from a player development standpoint, workout areas and our training facilities and that are really, really solid for player development. So to make the move up to Calgary was all COVID related to the border closure and the player access pool and what have you. And, you know, to make the move in a short period of time, hey, there's no question it was a challenge. You know, it's a challenge for everybody in the COVID times, but, you know, to move our franchise up here and get things going and get people quarantined and then and ready to drop the puck was a small feat, but, you know, something that it took a lot of people involved to get that going. To have the team up, you know, to have Stockton up here for the season, I think overall was successful. The goal was is to play 30 games, and we did, and we played it in a healthy environment, and we continued the path of player development for our young guys. And the big part of that was playing games, and we accomplished those areas by having the team up here. So overall, I think it was a success when you look at those areas.
It feels like we always have to preface every question with, yes, it's unique because of COVID, but obviously with Cale McLean and his staff working, you know, and theoretically in close proximity to first Jeff and then Daryl Sutter now, were there some benefits that go along with that in terms of sharing systems and ideas and things like that?
Yeah, our American League team has always had a really good relationship from a coaching standpoint, communication of knowing what systems are. And it's really terminology. At the end of the day, the AHL coaches still coach to coach, and they, you know, they're going to teach. And, you know, I think it's just following the structure, following the terminology is probably the biggest thing. So, you know, with previous coaching staffs and then with Daryl, you know, those conversations took place and will continue to take place. And you're right. By having the team here, there's better synergies where our AHL guys can go and actually watch practices and see the drills and incorporate some drills into their system. So there was some advantages for that. There's no question.
What about, I mean, you mentioned just in terms of the development, you got to play games. And I know for some guys it had been well over a year, but can you overstate just what those 30 games meant, you know, to a lot of the guys who have put in so much work off the ice? And then, you know, just that idea of being able to take another step in their hockey journey.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. They, like we all know, the guys were chomping at the bit. They've been practicing for months and months and months without an end date. So to drop the puck finally, it was the end of the line for these guys. They needed it. Yeah. They needed something to get going. So that was important. But no, you can't understate that. Hey, how excited they were to play, and B, that we accomplished the 30 games and individually and collectively progressed the development.
Well, as we talked about, it was kind of a unique season, kind of a tale of two seasons in many ways for the Heat, because early on you had that 8-game winning streak. And, you know, obviously as we got towards the end, things kind of tailed off. But when you go through a season like that, what is the primary takeaway? Are you looking for player development? Are you looking for results? Or again, how do you parse that information given the challenges that the team faced this year?
Yeah. My takeaway was, you know, to get the games in and progress development. That was my ultimate takeaway for playing 30 games, knowing that there wasn't playoffs and you don't have that, you know, something to look forward to or something to win and raise a trophy at the end of the year. Hey, it was difficult. There's no question. But in saying that, in talking to our players and our staff, you know, everybody knew this is a situation we're in. We're in a unique year. So everybody bought into that. And I think what we tried to do is break it into game segments, break it into series. We were playing the same team 3, 4, 5 times in a row. You know, so to break them into small series and really look at our game as a whole, period by period, game by game, and set goals and objectives and really focus in on that as a staff and as a group of players. And I think I think those were important steps that Cale McClain and the coaches took, and ultimately that the players all bought into.
I want to ask you about a couple of guys in particular, but you know, Connor Mackey, we saw at the NHL level early in the year, and obviously he had that opportunity to come in for the July training camp ahead of the bubble, the playoff bubble. And so he got some of those early reps, I suppose. But, you know, for him to get the steady, as he talked about the minutes in all situations, the things that he was able to go through at the American League level. I mean, he came back with a beard, for crying out loud. He obviously he got some of that experience, but just from his standpoint, what did you see from, you know, a young guy who's making that transition into pro hockey and looks to take that next step?
I think his experience in Stockton was a positive one in the way that, you know, to enter into your first pro season, he was a guy that was relied upon playing all situations, all minutes in a top pair. So this is a guy that you can work out, you know, entering your first year in pro, you're going to run into some obstacles, some challenges. And he was able to do that on the job, if you will, where he's, you know, could play in all situations, make mistakes, be right back on the ice and build his confidence day by day, game by game. And I think that's what we saw with Connor Mackey. And, you know, I think he really led our defense along with Petrovic and, you know, a few others, but the ice time and the situational play that he was in was going to benefit him at the end of the day to be a Calgary Flame.
Out of curiosity, because when Connor Mackey signed, I think it was wasn't March, I believe, when the pandemic first hit, but him and Colton Poolman signed basically at the same time. And he's a guy that, from a Flames perspective, we haven't heard a whole lot about, but as a rookie pro getting in there this year, what did you see from him?
Yeah, he's another guy. Both these guys were college free agents that we had watched for a couple of years. And you know, we were excited about getting these guys and ultimately signing them. But Colton was a player, ironically, when he was in the lineup, we won games. When he was out of the lineup with injuries, we seemed to lose games. So, which we all got a little bit of a chuckle out because obviously it's not about one player, but I guess it shows just the importance that he brought. He's a steady, steady defenseman that defends well. You know, I would say he doesn't stand out in any particular area where he would wow you, but at the same time, he's a coach's dream, if you will, because he's just so steady, so reliable, can defend just, you know, blocking shots, moving pucks, well-positioned, taking players out. And, you know, he was a valuable asset to the team, especially when he was in the lineup, as I mentioned. But I thought he had good progression as a first year, just figuring things out, the pace of the game compared to college. And I think he would sit back and look and say, hey, this is a successful year for me. Wish I wasn't injured, wish I could play all 30 games, but I know he's using this as a building block into next year. And his goal is to show well in the fall at Flames training camp and hopefully push for a position right out of camp.
Emilio Pettersson would kind of fall into that category too, I assume, another college kid. Obviously he was a drafted player, but just the fact that, you know, he's making that same transition, a lot of practice time with, you know, NHL type players. And now we see him headed off to the World Championship skating with Norway. But, you know, for a forward, what's that progression like for a young guy like him? And, you know, I think Cale kind of described some ebbs and flows in the game as well, but just seeing some of that high side as well.
Yeah. Emilio was one of many players, but one player that I thought progressed really well this year. As you mentioned, he came out of college as a skilled player that brings some speed and excitement into his game, into his step. And, you know, no different than you see from first year players turning pro, they have to work some things out. He was no different. So when I say he progressed, I thought that he worked some of those things out where he might've got away with in college. And, you know, you don't want to stifle his creativity, but at the same time, you want to give him direction and play within a structure. And I thought that he did that this year and at the same time progressed by putting up points. He was a guy that we relied on in all offensive situations, offensive zone, power play. And just his attention to detail is you know, something that really improved. And what I mean by that is just making sure that every play matters, his movement pucks in the right areas. And you know, one thing that he's got to concentrate on is just winning battles, winning puck battles, and coming out on the positive side of 50-50 puck battles.
How much does, you know, the World Championship, what does that opportunity do for a young kid like that to go and, you know, see it at that now level and get some exposure, you know, with his national club in that capacity?
Yeah, he's had some past experience, you know, anytime you represent your country is a thrill. And I know in talking to him, he was really excited about it. Excited to keep playing, but more importantly, represent his country. And in talking to the Norway team and then talking to Emilio, you know, we believe and the expectation is he's going to take a big role with that team. So I think it's a real positive step in his development. You're playing against, you know, pro NHL players, especially the Canadian US teams, but from different teams. And I think it's going to give him that challenge, and hopefully he shows well.
Not sure what the COVID protocols are that might be in place, but I guess sort of a two-part question. Number one, do you think that there are any other guys on the team that might be invited to their national teams at this point? And the second part of that, will you get a chance or anybody on your staff to watch the Worlds in person this year?
Well, first off, Yan Kuznetsov is a young player that joined us that we signed, and he's going to be joining Team Russia, but it's more of an under-20 tournament in Russia later this month in Sochi, and they're going to play a little tournament over there. We've had a few calls on a couple of other players to represent their countries, and we're talking about AHL Stockton players. Nothing's been confirmed. You know, some of the teams are still working out of their rosters and who might they get from the NHL or what have you. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at least one more of our players playing for their national team, but time will tell. And I think over the next week or two, we'll have that confirmed. You know, as we've done all the year, our scouting department, pro and amateur, for the most part, travel's been limited. And tough to cross borders. So we've been watching a lot of video and analyzing a lot by video, but our European based scouts, the plan is to have a couple of them go to the World Championship. At this time, the IIHF hasn't determined what the access would be for scouts. So I can tell you, we'll be watching it very closely as a group on video. And we hope to have one or two of our scouts at those games.
I want to follow up here on a guy who I think we in the media and possibly Flames fans think is very close, Adam Rzeczka. Is he as close as maybe we think?
Yeah, he sure is. You just look at him day in and day out of how he plays and how he skates, and he has the NHL attributes. He's a big, strong centerman that skates well and has skill and sense. So, definitely he has attributes to play in the NHL. He's one of many that we're excited about, an up and coming prospect, but you know, he's a player that, you know, had the little bit of the ebbs and flows with our AHL season early on, scoring at a torrid pace with Matthew Phillips and Connor Zary as a line. And, you know, he had multiple 3-point games and really showing well offensively. So, and you know, got up a little bit on the taxi squad, came back down, missed some games. You know, I think overall for him is a successful year. I thought he took a step in the right direction. And I thought he learned a lot of how he needs to compete day in and day out in order to be an NHL player. So exciting times for him going ahead. And, you know, I thought, you know, he took a step in the right direction, as I mentioned.
You mentioned Matthew Phillips there, and we hear so much about his leadership qualities as he's now progressed in his, I mean, it happens quickly. You go from that first year pro to now, you know, being a guy that is leading both by example and just off the ice. But what's impressed you the most about the way that Matthew Phillips goes about things? And that maybe speaks to the on ice product as well, but just his approach to the game.
Yeah. You said it. Matthew brings leadership, you know, captain of his junior teams, you know, always part of the leadership group, captain the last couple of years. And we saw that right from the day one that he stepped into to our organization, is just the respect that he has amongst his peers and his teammates and his opponents. Matthew, he worked really hard this summer to work on gaining an extra step in speed and working on his offensive ability of just attacking the net more quickly and making plays quicker. And I felt that Matthew had a tremendous season in the way that it showed that he was quicker on the ice. But anytime he was on the ice, it just seemed like offensive opportunities were a magnet to him, anytime he had the puck on his stick, he was doing something with it offensively and creating offensive chances. So, you know, he continues to show well offensively. And as I mentioned, I thought he had a really good training year coming into this shortened season. And and know that he's going to work hard to push for a spot next year.
I know we've thrown a ton of names at you, but that's what we do. But is there anybody maybe outside of the quote-unquote obvious guys like a Rzeczka or a Phillips that, you know, maybe caught your attention this year and think that more Flames fans should be aware of?
Well, I mean, just a few guys. I'd say Walker Dewar that we signed and played at the end. He's, you know, the attributes of a big body, a right shot, right winger that can skate. We only saw him play a handful of games, but, you know, he's a guy that we're excited about with those attributes. I think, you know, a right shot, right winger organizationally is always what we're looking for with some size. And, you know, I mentioned Yan Kuznetsov, another young player, one of the youngest players in the NCAA, and played at the end of the season for us that showed really well and didn't look out of place. And, you know, just those were a couple of young guys, you know, that stepped in late in the season that I thought that made some good strides. I mean, we could go through the whole roster. Luke Schilt was a player that, you know, I thought was one of our most consistent players, game in and game out. And one guy that I thought really impressed until he got hurt and then had shoulder surgery was Pospisil. And, you know, he's a player that brings that competitive sandpaper element to his game. That's a big body, can skate, and also can produce offensively. He's going to be fully healed by the fall. And, you know, in the same breath of Rzeczka and some of these other guys, I think Flames fans and us as management group and coaching staff are excited to see what he brings and pushing into hopefully a good look in the fall.
I just want to quickly circle back on Luke Philp there, because you mentioned him as being one of the standouts, and that would be 2 years in a row that he's been a pretty consistent player for you guys. I guess the difference with him is that he's a few years older than some of the younger guys we were talking about there. So what does a guy in that sort of age bracket have to do this offseason and going into training camp next fall to kind of turn some heads here?
Yeah, the same as he's did in the last year, and, you know, the same as all these guys, it's you know, everyone needs to be stronger and faster in order to play in the NHL. And, you know, I think in Luke Phillips' case, he had an exceptional time off, if you will, that achieved a lot of the goals that were set out by our development and strength conditioning department. You know, ultimately the onus was on Luke to do that, and you know, he achieved a lot of those things, and I think you saw it in his game. I think you saw that he was quicker. You saw that he was stronger on his feet and stronger in battles around the puck. So for him, just has to continue on those areas. And I know that he will. He's got the drive and the determination.
One last one for me, Brad, and that's just to kind of circle on something a little bit different, and that's the announcement that was made this week about the PWHPA and a little partnership there to bring the Dream Gap Tour into Calgary. You know, I think that's pretty cool for everybody, just to know that the Calgary Flames organization playing a role in you know, helping these ladies perform at the highest level. That's first and foremost. But just from a personal standpoint, I know, you know, Cassie's going to be involved as well, your wife. And just what about that from the home front, maybe first and foremost, and the opportunity that these women now have to play here?
Well, you know, I think for the Flames organization to partner with them and provide the opportunity is exceptional. I mean, these female players are the best in the world, and, you know, they've had a tough go here in the last couple of years of, you know, standing up for what they believe in, and good on them to all band together as a group. You know, to create opportunities for themselves. And, you know, we believe, I think as an organization, and I guess me personally, is that, you know, that there's ultimately what the end goal for them is to create their own league and have a successful league. And I believe it's a viable option. I know that the NHL is interested in continuing to partner with them and look to see if there's opportunities to work with NHL teams like the Flames, and give these girls opportunities. But the high level that they play in and the determination and what they bring and what they've overcome in the last few years of finding solidarity and finding, you know, I guess direction as a group for them, is kudos on them. So exciting to be able to get them all together and to see some games and ultimately be here at the Saddledome and have Sportsnet broadcasting them, I think is great. I mean, ultimately, it's young girls that are out there playing sports and playing the games and having people to look up to. And these ladies are you know, heroes to the young girls playing hockey, and to have them to be able to be broadcast on national TV day in and day out, and especially in this Dream Gap Tour is really important. So yeah, excited for the Flames to partner with them and excited that they're coming to Calgary.
Well said.
Yeah.
Love it. It's going to be fun. I think we, you know, every Olympics, I mean, what typically ends up being the best of the best games? I mean, the women's hockey games always deliver. So this is going to be, it's going to be great. Can't wait.
No. And being involved at Hockey Canada for so many years, I can tell you at the Olympics, especially, you know, I'd be involved with the men's team, and, you know, we always planned it in our schedule, not only the coaches, the management, but the players themselves. And we would make our way over and watch the Canadian girls play. You know, some of those gold medal games, even the players, the NHL guys would be like, this is the best game I've ever watched in my life. Yeah. And the support that they would give each other, but especially the men's team would give to the women's team, was just incredible. And quite honestly, always the women's gold medal would take place before the men's gold medal. And I can tell you the inspiration of seeing the girls win gold medal and then the men's team usually playing the last couple of years for a gold the next day or two, you know, what was really, really important to see that. And truthfully, I believe helped the men's team achieve their goal as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome. Great stuff, Brad. Hey, thank you so much for your time. Always great to catch up and talk a little hockey.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ryan and Brandon. Appreciate it.
The Calgary Flames Foundation Online 50-50 presented by RE/MAX is now live. Support Southern Alberta charities by purchasing your 50-50 tickets starting at 9 a.m. each game day and watch the jackpot grow at calgaryflames.com/50-50.
Parks, before we go, let's take a look at what's on deck for the Flames this weekend. They're back at it on Saturday with a practice, but then back on the game sheet on Sunday with a 6 p.m. start against the surging Ottawa Senators, red hot right now, winning 8 of their last 11. And obviously the ability to get under the skin of the Calgary Flames has been well documented this year, but an important game for the Flames to try and get off the mat. And, you know, hopefully by that point, they're still involved in this playoff race.
Yeah, for sure. That's the one thing we don't know, but... Yeah, the one thing we do know is they have their hands full. They have all season, and Ottawa is kind of playing the way that, you know, you kind of hope that the Flames sort of turn, maybe just to loosen things up a little bit in terms of the offense, try not to, you know, worry so much about that end of it, and maybe it'll start to come a little bit more naturally, not to fight every single puck that goes in that way. And, you know, like we've talked about this, you know, before, when it comes to teams who are on the outside, like Ottawa has been for long enough, you know, it's easier to play, you know, loose. It's easier to play with a different mindset. When they were in here last, a lot of their team was talking about treating this as their playoffs, just to look at it like these games mean something to our young team who haven't had a lot of experience in the NHL, period, let alone playoff NHL hockey. So when they're playing teams like Montreal and Vancouver, who they have all beaten here in the last little stretch, all teams that still had playoff aspirations, and Calgary, you'll throw them in there too. You know, they had a different look, outlook on the whole situation, and they've kind of risen to that opportunity to play those games. And it's a bunch of young guys right now playing good hockey. So this is a good challenge for Calgary. You certainly can't, you know, think that they're any less in the standings because they're even right now in points going in. And, you know, they've shown, they fit right in with any team in this division of late.
You talk about building for next year. This is a team that I am fascinated to follow come October, because they've proven, I know it doesn't mean a whole lot when you say, hey, you know, you eliminate this stretch of games and all of a sudden they're a good team in the league. But it is true. If you take out that first month of the season, you're talking about the Ottawa Senators pushing for a playoff spot. So, you know, it was only about a month ago, people were always asking, you know, how do you lose to the Ottawa Senators? And I think it was Elias Lindholm who stood at the podium and said, I don't know why everybody keeps saying that. Like, this is a good team here. Everybody's a good team in this division.
And they've showed it every single day. Like, they have definitely showed that every game that they've played. And you're right. I mean, aside from the start of the year where they went through it, which is kind of what you'd expect, you know, a young team. And
for sure,
you know, their goaltender who they brought in, you know, hadn't necessarily played that well in the early part of the year either. And it took him some time to get that sorted out as well. But for sure, you're looking at something completely different. And then they just keep on kind of infusing younger guys in there. Like Shane Pinto scored his first the other night, and we were impressed with him the last time we saw him in town, you know, just over a week ago. And this team is going to be interesting, as you said, to watch in the future, because there are a lot of pieces there right now. And it should be entertaining. One thing you kind of look at with them is they kind of win it and have over the last little while in different ways too. They can score goals, and when they're feeling it right now offensively, like they are, it's interesting, you know, just what the weapons are that they have at their disposal. And when they figure out how the NHL a little bit more, that's going to be a dangerous team for sure.
Well, it should be a good one on Sunday. The Flames nearing the end of their regular season home schedule. We're going to keep an eye on that playoff race, like we said. But either way, let's have some fun. It's NHL hockey. It's May. The weather is starting to look good. Let's enjoy the ride while we have it. Right, Parks?
That's the only way you can do it.
Right on. Parks, thanks again for your time, buddy. Always appreciate catching up with you.
We'll talk soon.
Right on. And thank you so much for listening to the Firestarter Podcast, powered by Nextdoor, the neighborhood app. We'll